Welcome to the Deep Dive. This week, we're really zeroing in on the key commercial real estate headlines from the first part of October 2025. And we're looking at everything specifically through the lens of strategic retail investment right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. We've sifted through the major reports, everything from, you know, big finance moves to the, frankly, the collapse of some legacy retail brands. Our goal here is simple. Cut through that noise and give you the actionable insights you need if you're looking at opportunities in DFW retail.
And that focus is so important right now. We're seeing what some analysts are calling extreme divergence. I mean, the gap between the winners and losers in CRE, it's reportedly the widest it's been since, well, since the 1980s. And understanding where capital is flowing and why is absolutely critical when you see that kind of spread.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you have these pockets of really high demand and tight supply driving huge returns while, you know, other properties are just becoming serious liabilities. And it seems like DFW is a prime example of this divergence playing out.
Exactly. We'll use our time today to really unpack what makes DFW such an engine for outperformance and, critically, what that means for retail, especially ground floor retail planning.
Okay, sounds good. Let's start with maybe the main catalyst driving all this DFW demand right now, that huge influx from the financial sector, the whole Yall Street phenomenon. And it's not just talk anymore, is it? It's showing up in the numbers. Financial services and insurance firms, they account for half of DFW's top 10 office leases just last quarter, Q3. We're talking big commitments, like PennyMac Financial Services taking a whole 300,000 square foot building in Carrollton,
wow,
or Scotiabank grabbing 133,000 square feet over in Dallas's Victory Commons 1. These are major moves.
Right. And that momentum feels, well, structural. It doesn't feel temporary. And then you add the news this week that the Texas Stock Exchange, the TXSE, got SEC approval. They're planning their Dallas headquarters for next year. That just cements it. You know, yeah, when you already have giants like JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs moving major operations here, plus a new stock exchange setting up shop, well, it just reinforces DFW's position as really one of the absolute top performing CRE markets in the entire country. And the proof is right there in the investment sales data, up an incredible 116% year over year.
Wow, 116%. That's a staggering number. But I guess I have to ask, with that kind of financial rush and sales growth, does it feel sustainable? Is there a risk of, you know, overheating?
Well, that's what's interesting. The growth seems quite targeted. It's not like an across-the-board boom. It's really focused on high-quality, newer assets, the kind that cater directly to this, well, this relocating professional class, often with higher net worth. So the demand feels rooted in actual demographic shifts, not just, you know, speculative building.
Okay, that makes sense. And that focus on quality, it seems to translate directly into the retail strategy we're seeing, especially in these big premium mixed-use projects. Like, let's look at that Preston Center development, the one at 8300 Douglas. That project is clearly betting hard on this Yall Street energy. They're planning, what, a 17-story luxury residential tower, new Class A office space. And crucially for our focus, they're specifically allocating 24,000 square feet just for ground floor retail and restaurants.
Right. They know exactly who they're building for. And that location, Preston Center, tells you everything. Office asking rents there hit $60.25 per square foot in Q3. That is a very high number. It's second only to Uptown in Dallas. So if developers are justifying those kinds of office rents, the retail component has to be premium enough to support that whole environment.
So that 24,000 square feet isn't just generic retail space.
No.
Absolutely not. It has to be destination retail. It's the same thinking you see in projects like the Vickery, that mixed-use community over in Fort Worth. Developers are intentionally creating these vibrant, walkable environments. The retail isn't just retail. It's almost a luxury amenity. It serves the lifestyle that this new, often more affluent population demands. And that kind of experience-based retail is much more resilient against, you know, e-commerce pressures.
Okay, so that paints the DFW picture.
Yeah.
This finance engine driving demand for high-end, experience-focused retail.
Yeah.
Now, let's pivot a bit and look at the national retail scene, because we're seeing these two extremes playing out, and it really gives us a blueprint for what might happen with existing spaces, even here in Texas. So on one end, the collapse side, we just saw the official end of Rite Aid. After, what, 60 years and a couple of bankruptcy filings, they finally closed their last 89 stores last week. That suddenly creates this huge volume of dark, large format retail space across the country that, well, needs a new life.
That is a lot of square footage hitting the market needing a new strategy. But then you contrast that collapse with the, frankly, incredible confidence you see from other brands that are thriving. I mean, I was really struck by Sprouts Farmers Market. They're planning to triple their footprint. They're targeting 1,400 stores nationwide, up from about 455 now, aiming for all 50 states.
Triple. Yeah, that's not just optimism. That signals a real structural belief in their model.
Yeah.
It really highlights the strength of those health-focused sort of supplemental grocers. Right? Mm-hmm. They occupy that niche between a full-service supermarket and a specialized health store.
Exactly. And this contrast, you know, Rite Aid closing and Sprouts booming, it really highlights the two big trends driving successful retail leasing right now, affordability and service.
Hmm. So on the affordability side, you see the off-price chains, think TJ Maxx, Dollar General, Burlington, they're expanding like crazy because consumers are really focused on value. And then on the service side, which is frankly a perfect fit for many of those empty large Rite Aid boxes, you're seeing huge growth in tenants that are basically e-commerce proof. We're talking fitness studios, specialized medical clinics, personal care services. That's really the playbook for backfilling that kind of vacant space, including here in DFW.
And we are seeing some of those national trends touch down locally, aren't we? Like Uniqlo, the fashion retailer, they just announced plans for 11 new stores in the U.S. It confirms they're serious about hitting that goal of 200 U.S. locations by 2027. And importantly, they already announced 5 Texas stores back in April. So their continued investment here specifically, it's a pretty strong signal about their confidence in Texas consumer spending.
It absolutely is. But then you contrast that sort of global giant's confidence with the maybe tougher situation for a local favorite, Muya Burgers, based right here in Plano. Now, they are looking to expand, but they're operating in that super crowded, fast casual burger space. That means they're constantly fighting pricing pressures and, of course, those escalating real estate costs here in DFW.
Right. Muya's situation really illustrates the challenge for operators. Even in a hot market like DFW, you have to have a really strong, differentiated concept to justify paying these rising rents for prime retail spots. It's just a very, very competitive landscape out there.
Right.
And this need for transformation, for differentiation, it's pushing capital towards making some pretty drastic decisions about existing, especially large format properties. We saw that with the sale of the Long Beach Town Center out in California. That's an 870,000 square foot center. It sold for $145 million. And the money is specifically tagged for a complete overhaul, reinvestment to, you know, revamp the whole guest experience.
And maybe the most dramatic example was Walmart buying the Monroeville Mall in Pennsylvania. That's a 1.2 million square foot mall, but they didn't buy it to run it as a mall. They bought it for demolition. The plan is to tear it down and build a modern open-air mixed-use project featuring new retail and a Sam's Club.
Yeah, that sends a clear signal. Capital is definitely willing to completely scrap failing formats and rebuild something that meets today's demand for experience-driven retail. Basically, if a property isn't working, there's significant capital ready to step in, acquire it, and fundamentally reconstruct it into something that does work.
Okay, shifting gears slightly, let's talk about the broader financial picture. Because while DFW has this really powerful growth story, we are hearing about rising financial stress nationally in CRE. So the question is DFW just sort of an outlier masking deeper systemic stress we should worry about? Or is this distress really contained to older, maybe weaker assets? I mean, you can't ignore the surge in commercial real estate loan modifications. They're up 66% year over year. That totaled, what, $27.7 billion as of June? That definitely shows real financial pain for a lot of property owners, especially those grappling with higher interest rates on maybe older assets.
You've hit the crucial point there. The distress seems to be very localized and very asset specific. Yes, we are seeing specific distress signals in Texas. Foreclosure auctions scheduled for October targeted over $575 million in debt across the state. That's actually down a bit from September, but still significant. But look closely at the DFW examples. We saw foreclosure notices on a multifamily property, Perea Oaklawn, with a $25.5 million loan. And the Three Forest Plaza office tower, that's a $57.75 million loan facing notice. These often tend to be older properties or perhaps projects that were over-leveraged and are now struggling to adapt to current market conditions or interest rates, which of course presents opportunities for buyers with cash ready to deploy, opportunistic acquisitions.
Right. And just on a line that the capital markets don't seem worried about the fundamental Texas growth story, we had that huge positive news this week too. The merger of Cincinnati-based Fifth Third Bank with Dallas-based Comerica. That's a massive $10.9 billion deal. And what's really significant for real estate watchers is Fifth Third's stated plan. They're going to use this merger to build 150 new bank branches right here in Texas. Their goal is apparently a top 5 market share position in Dallas, Houston, and Austin.
Building 150 new physical bank branches today in this age of digital banking? Wow, that might be the strongest real estate signal of confidence in a market we've seen all quarter.
Yeah.
It tells you that major financial institutions look at the physical economic foundation and the demographic trajectory of Texas and see something fundamental and superior, superior enough to warrant deploying massive long-term capital into bricks and mortar. So putting it all together, this tension, you have the big capital markets driving major bank expansions and funding these high-end DFW retail projects because they believe in the long-term growth story. And at the exact same time, you have this localized distress cropping up, maybe in older office buildings, maybe over-leveraged multifamily, maybe even smaller retail strips like that Galleria Oaks building too in Austin with $16 million in debt heading to auction. That distress creates these specific ripe acquisition targets for rescue capital or value-add players, but it doesn't seem to undermine the broader positive DFW narrative.
Okay, so let's try to summarize the key takeaways then, specifically for the DFW retail market based on all this. It seems we're seeing really exceptional demand, fueled mainly by that Yall Street finance boom. That boom is supporting brand new, high-quality mixed-use developments like Preston Center, and it's also attracting strong national retailers expanding aggressively, like Sprouts and Uniqlo.
Exactly. But the success story really hinges on having the right strategy for the right property. Those legacy closures like Rite Aid, they are creating opportunities. That space will likely get absorbed pretty quickly, but probably by those e-commerce resistant service tenants or the value-oriented chains. So if you're investing or developing, success really depends on picking your lane. Are you catering to that premium end, the wealth driving the new office and residential markets, or are you tapping into that relentless consumer hunt for value? Both can work, but they require very different properties and approaches.
Okay, that's a great summary. Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I wanted to leave you with one final thought to consider, something maybe overlooked when we talk retail: logistics. Specifically, the impact of the absolutely massive planned expansion of data center capacity across the U.S. You read about OpenAI contracting for something like 16 gigawatts of power, Meta signing a $14 billion cloud deal. This stuff eats up huge amounts of power and critically industrial land. So the question is, how long until DFW's available industrial land, which is already getting pricey in places like McKinney, partly due to data center demand, becomes so prohibitively expensive that it starts to significantly drive up logistics costs, the supply chain costs for the entire regional retail market? That potential squeeze on industrial space and what it means for the cost of actually stocking retail shelves. That feels like the next big tension point we really ought to be watching closely here in DFW.